Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Thursday edition, January 28th of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're joined this hour by Mr. Dave Hodges of The Common Sense Show. Before we get to him, we got a quick announcement.
Yeah, I just want to make sure everyone's aware. You know, I had mentioned earlier in the program about WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. Mention about them, and just, I got to tell you, the music that they provide for us, the DVDs that we received after purchasing Whole Tones Live, really has made a difference. It's made a difference in the way we have. It's made a huge difference in our productivity, in our moods. Ask Joe. That is, I mean, he'll tell us. He'll tell you. You know, I respond to things like this. It's nice. The music of King David, the lyrics, the frequencies of King David apply here. And we had Michael Terrell on not too long ago on this program talking about Whole Tones Live and about the benefits of different frequencies and different music and different healing powers that Whole Tones Live can offer the listener. And I will say that without overstating the case, I believe that Whole Tones Live, the music there, can help you overcome the feeling of being overwhelmed and stressed and unmotivated, the feeling that you're not running your life. You know, you're not alone in those feelings. But now you can experience the scientifically proven powers of this music therapy with WholeTonesLive.com. And again, they've got a collection of proven music therapy that can help reduce stress, ease your mind, and motivate you. Just got a number of emails from listeners to this program who ordered the music from Whole Tones Live. Just a number of listeners, and they're all positive. It's so great to hear the listeners saying, "Hey, I really have benefited from Whole Tones Live. Thank you so much for turning me on to Whole Tones Live." So I urge everyone, go to WholeTonesLive.com, download a free sample at WholeTonesLive.com, support our broadcast, go to WholeTonesLive.com, that's WholeTonesLive.com, and, you know, have at it, because take advantage of it. It's just a fantastic product. You know, I'm not sure if his daddy was a cop on the east side of Chicago back in the old USA, back in the bad old days, but I don't know. But I do know that in the heat of a summer night in the land of the dollar bill, Dave Hodges was suspiciously absent, conspicuously absent. No, I'm just kidding. Folks, I want to welcome to the program tonight Dave Hodges from the Common Sense Show. Dave, welcome to the Hagman.
Hey, that's one of the more unique introductions I've ever had. Thank you for that.
Well, you know, it's kind of... wink, wink, nod, nod. Like I said before, buddy, to those listening, let me tell you, the duck flies at midnight, and the hen is in the nest. I repeat, the hen is in the nest.
They're giving me too much credit, because I've never had the opportunity to talk to Mr. Netanyahu before, and I guess that's who I'm supposed to be helping now. So,
well, I guess we all are. You know, it's amazing what the. It's just amazing, some of the misinformation, disinformation out there. But you know what, folks? I want to tell you, Dave Hodges did the only alternative news or new media interview with Ammon Bundy during the Oregon standoff out there. And I really want to ask him, because we did a show yesterday about our thoughts on it. But you were in the unique position, along with Sheila Zelensky, but you were in the unique position to do this interview with Ammon Bundy. To tell us about this, because what was really at issue here?
First of all, I wanted to give credit where credit's due. Katie Whalen, my wonderful and top-notch health reporter on the Common Sense Show, she facilitated putting that interview together. She knows Ammon Bundy's sister's friend, and one thing led to another. In fact, we were supposed to have Ammon on January the 10th, which was a Sunday night, in the last 30 minutes of my show, and I look back on it now retrospectively, I should have kept my mouth shut and just had him on and not announced that he was coming on, because 1 minute before having Ammon on, in fact, I was just finishing a live read commercial for Steve Quayle's Renaissance Precious Metals, and boom, the lights went out. I mean, we were off the air, And I understand that my show is broadcast on two satellites, and they went down simultaneously. Our listen by phone did. Our phone lines went out. And as we found out that later that night from Shauna Cox inside the Bundy camp, that all the Bundy communications were taken down too at exactly the same time. So they did not want Ammon Bundy to be able to tell his story to someone who would let him tell his story. Because the narratives that they do, the splice and dice with CNN and Fox and NBC, they'll ask questions and they seem harmless enough to you when you're answering as the person being interviewed, but then they get it on the editing room and they just put this here and put that there, and pretty soon they're taking out what you really meant to say and putting in what they want you to say. And so, you know, Ammon was bushwhacked by the mainstream media. And the FBI, and I suspect also the CIA, were very determined not to let us interview Ammon. Now, Katie, not to be deterred, got back in touch with them the next day, and we got Ammon on our afternoon show. And Sheila and I were talking away, and lo and behold, we get Ammon, courtesy of Katie. And so Ammon comes on, and I have to tell you, I support Ammon and his compatriots. I support them fully, except I did not like the fact that they took over a federal building because I thought that left them vulnerable to federal intervention. And I wish that he would have been able to set up camp in a different place, but I also said this is not the hill to die on. And I thought Ammon was going in there to make a militant statement, you know, with guns and lots of numbers of people. And I was really wrong. I misjudged the situation, and so I was forced to do a mea culpa after I interviewed Ammon, because here's some of the things he said to me. We're not here behind bunkers, you know, with guns pointing through the slits looking to take down federal officials. We're not doing that. We are here to support the ranchers in the area who've been so abused by the BLM and the EPA and their illegal land intrusions, you know, upon their properties and depriving them of their ability to make a living to support their family. And he said, we're here to stop violence because the way things are going, they're so bad, there's going to be widespread violence. And he said, we go, for example, on ranchers' land and we'll take down a fence that was put on to restrict rancher activity by the Fish and Wildlife. He said, we'll go take that down and help that rancher out. And he said, that's what we're here to do. And as I listened to this man talk over the 40 minutes that we interviewed him, he came across as a man who was soft-spoken, tender-hearted, and really just trying to help people preserve their way of life, preserve their economic well-being against an all-powerful and out-of-control tyrannical federal government. But he was very calm in what he was doing. He cited scripture, he cited the Constitution, and I came away from the interview going, whoops, I need to get 100% behind Ammon. The federal building still bothered me, though, because I don't like leaving myself vulnerable. And this, I think, was the justification for the FBI to come in and do the things that they ended up ultimately doing, which was murdering Lavoy Finicum. But I got to tell you, Doug and Joe, Ammon Bundy is a man with a soft heart. He's not a militant, but he's not afraid to stand up for his rights. That's what I came away with from that interview. And I have to tell you, I've had the interview knocked off my website. I put it up on Before It's News. It was knocked off there. I put it up again. I've had trouble accessing it out of our archives from time to time. We checked on it today, and it looks like everything in the archives is fine. But there was a time when myself and several of my listeners could not access the interview. And I know we're being tampered with. And they don't want that side of Ammon to come out. In fact, there was an article here in the Arizona Republic where I live, our major daily for the state, and all they did was vilify him. He's a radical. He's a militant. He's a gun-toting thug. And this is how they characterized him. And guys, he's anything but that. He's a man who loves God, and he wants the Constitution respected and people's property rights to be honored.
Okay. Now, but what, I guess, see, you said at the beginning, the narrative was it's not clear. It was being controlled. The whole story was being manipulated, and it's still being manipulated. Right? I mean...
Yes. Yeah, in fact, they had an article on the front page of the Arizona Republic yesterday about the event, and I suppose we can get into the event, but they said that one killed, seven taken into custody, the man killed, they didn't identify him. I don't know, I had the name within hours. I don't know how the Republic didn't have it by the next day, and I'll let them know. His name was Lavoie Finicum. He was a father of 11. He had been abused by the federal government in his own land rights. He's an Arizona rancher, so he's from my home state, and he was surrendering. They set up a roadblock, and he swerved to avoid it, and he drove into a snowbank, and he got out of the car with his hands above his head, and clearly there are... I had two Facebook narratives sent to me that same night he was killed, and of course Facebook has since taken it down. And then there is a third recording that's appeared from a passenger that was in the car, and she said he was gunned down. And Ammon Bundy got out some messages before he was taken into custody saying the same thing. His hands were above his head. He was unarmed, and they shot him multiple times. In fact, the description was they believe he was shot three times. He went down to the ground, and they continued shooting him. And, of course, you know, they've got the judges paid off in that county, Judge Grasty. They've got the coroner on their side. They've got the fire marshal who blew the whistle originally. He's now backtracked on everything. So the feds have come in and taken total dictatorial control.
The fire chief,
excuse me. Right. But his name was Briel, B-R-I-E-L. Right. And, like I said, he's changed the story more than most people change their socks. And these people are all under the control now of the federal government. Here's what I've been able to piece together from the evidence that's leaked out and from people that we know within the camp, is that they were traveling in a car and they were going to an appointment, and they've often offered to the FBI to sit down and have a talk. They said, okay, we'll talk to you. In fact, I have a video where Ammon showed up with several people, and the FBI was supposed to meet him, and they were met by two guards, and they said, well, the FBI is not going to come and meet with you today. So they had a chance to resolve this peacefully. But that's not the way that the FBI conducts their business in the Wild West. In fact, let's just go back to Randy Weaver, you know, back in the 90s when they shot Randy Weaver's 15-year-old son in the back running away from the agents, and then they fired a shot through the kitchen window where Mrs. Bundy was holding their one-year-old infant and killed her instantly. Of course, Randy was exonerated and paid $4 million from Congress, but he doesn't get his family members back. That was courtesy of the FBI, and these FBI snipers were never held accountable. Then, of course, most people know what happened at Waco, where they burned women and children alive when they brought in the tanks and knocked down the walls. What the hell did they think was going to happen? And now we go forward where we have the murder that took place outside Burns, Oregon, and these people were offering to speak to federal officials. What they did was they trapped them. They set up a roadblock. There were agents in the trees firing from the trees. One estimate said that they believed their car was hit 120 times. Ammon Bundy's brother was wounded, shot in the arm. These people were never given a chance to surrender. They never brandished guns. Guns never left their holsters. All they had was sidearms. And these people, it was like a Bonnie and Clyde massacre. And really, it makes you ashamed, in one sense, to be an American, that our federal law officials could act with such depravity. These people asked to meet with federal officials. They could have arrested them on the spot. But no, they had to have the big gun shooting at the OK Corral. That's what they had to have. And I just get so angry about it, because now a man is dead who didn't deserve to die. They didn't have to resolve it this way. And I knew these people were headed for prison. I knew they were going to do 20 years for occupying a federal building. I had Kurt Haskell on my show, and Kurt said they're either going to come out in body bags or in handcuffs and do 20 years. And I knew he was right. But they didn't have to have this show of force. They were shooting at him from two angles. I mean, they were totally bushwhacked. And every American needs to be furious. because I know a lot of people are going to hang their hat on the fact that our men took over a federal building in the middle of nowhere. I understand a lot of Americans are going to hang their hat on that argument and say that they support the government. But do you support a government that bushwhacks people who have actually offered to sit down and negotiate with you? They ambush them actively and try to murder all of them without giving them a chance to surrender? Is this the kind of country we want to live in?
Oh, well said.
Yeah, and Dave, one of the things that caught my attention when this information and situation first was developing, when the FBI released the statement that night and then the previous day, or the next day, had a press conference, which a lot of mainstream headlines, you know, shoot out in Oregon with militia, the FBI stated that shots were fired, but they never placed blame on those militia members, nor did they ever clarify if the militia members ever fired a shot. And that was a big red flag for me. Right away, because, you know, that would have been the main headline on all the websites if that were the case.
There's no shootout, right? I mean, no one from the Patriot movement got a shot off, right?
No. All the shots were fired by the FBI.
Yeah.
So no shots were fired by the Bundy group.
Did, you know, just as an example, you mentioned Randy Weaver and the 15-year-old son running away, shot in the back. It's interesting because right now we have a case where a Colorado homeowner who was robbed at gunpoint, tied up in his house, robbed and by a guy, 38-year-old David Martinez is the perp's name. He long criminal history. Okay, this guy, you know, tied this guy up in his own house and stole his car. Well, somehow the homeowner managed to untie himself, grabbed his gun, went out and shot at the car as the car was leaving. Okay, his own car by the perp. He actually shot the perp. The perp died, and now he's facing charges. So, or might be facing charges. So, it's interesting because look at the system in which we live. The FBI can do this and the feds can do this with impunity. Yet when a homeowner does this in self-defense, and I understand that this guy was leaving and it didn't pose an immediate threat, but the analogy is the same. But okay, so, you know, all right. But the narrative appears to be a moving target, Dave. It's always a moving target here, and it's being controlled by either the silence from the mainstream media or by the perverse reporting of the mainstream media and even the inaccurate reporting of some of the alternative media. It's just crazy. But you got it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, or the, you know, the eyewitness or the man himself, Ammon Bundy, who called for this. And what do you make of his recent statement after his arrest saying, okay, we're going to go home now? You know, go home.
I don't think we can trust anything that's released now. Not unless if I could have a personal conversation with Ammon, that would be one thing. But if I'm relying on the printed media and the mainstream media for what their take is, I don't trust a word they say.
Yeah. Wow.
They're not trustworthy. They work, they're corporate controlled, and they work for the corporations that run this country. And they're going to spin this narrative. Let me tell you why the corporate controlled media is doing what they're doing. Let's get to the bottom line of all this. What's going on is that the federal government is working on behalf of special interests to get ranchers off their land. And why are they getting them off their land? Well, they're moving them off lands in which there are valuable mineral resources. Now, I wrote an article about 2.5 years ago in which I cited an independent study that said we probably have about $128 trillion of underground hidden mineral wealth. And this was a solid study and backed up by a second study. And these minerals are being stolen off ranchers' land. In fact, the Hammond Ranch, the ranch at issue here with the Ammon Bundy controversy, the Hammond Ranch is having precious metals taken, including uranium. Now, people are going to reject this when I say this, but I stand next to the New York Times when I say this. There's a company called Uranium One. It's a Canadian-based company. It's a front company owned by the Russians. And the Clintons have intimate ties with it. And Uranium One comes onto various properties, according to the New York Times. And I followed up on this and found it was much more pervasive than the New York Times was reporting. And I reported on this back in April of 2015. that the Uranium One company was going on to BLM land and also rancher land with the permission of the BLM and stealing uranium and giving it or selling it to the Russians, and the Russians were providing a kickback to Hillary Clinton for her presidential campaign. New York Times. In articles I've written within the last 10 days, I have cited the New York Times article on this. Now, they never did a follow-up because obviously this is politically provocative, but once it was out there, you can't unring the bell, so the story stands. Well, yours truly went out and did my own independent research, and I found even more beyond what the New York Times report said. This is widespread and rampant throughout the West. So the Hammonds, I'll just give you an example. Here's what happened. You have the two Hammonds, father and son. They get permission from the federal government to do a controlled burn on their land. They lost control of the controlled burn, and it went partially, not even fully, on the federal land. It was an accident, and it was an accident that came from an approved federal action. So what happened to them? Well, they were tried by a prosecutor, a U.S. attorney, who said, well, we're not just going to charge you with being reckless and go after the damages. We're going to charge you under terrorism laws. So they were charged with arson, but terrorism-based arson, which carried a five-year mandatory minimum sentence. And they weren't sentenced to the mandatory minimum. They were sentenced to less because the judge said they didn't deserve that much jail time. So they each served a few months. I think the son served a year, and the dad, the 73-year-old father, served 3 months. And they were let out. Well, then here comes the prosecutors again, and they file an appeal with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they said that we haven't had enough blood here. We need more blood. We need them to go back and serve 5 years. That's double jeopardy. Okay, the judge already ruled. They already served their time. They were let out. This is a clear case of double jeopardy. And so they're thrown back in jail for 5 years. Well, this is where, you know, the Bundys and several people that followed them sprang into action, and they came to Burns, Oregon. And why did they throw the Hammonds in jail? Because they want their mineral wealth. There's clear and convincing evidence that their mineral wealth is being stolen. So anytime they can prosecute someone to the full extent of the law, even when terrorism laws are inappropriately used, they get them off their land, they get their minerals, and Hillary Clinton gets her cut. And this is going on all across the West. And so this isn't just about Ammon Bundy going crazy and grabbing a gun and getting people to follow him. That's not what's at work here. He's trying to expose this. And see, this is why they took down my show on January the 10th, why they didn't want the Common Sense Show talking to Ammon Bundy, because they don't want this story told. Doug, I'm surprised we're still on the air. I really am. The federal government is in bed with these criminals, and they are trying to control the narrative. And I've had such unbelievable electronic harassment. People are talking to me, and my phone starts making weird noises. One night I was on with a colleague talking to this person on the phone, and my phone sent her two text messages in the course of our phone conversation. I'm not joking. This is the kind of electronic harassment that I'm experiencing because I've jumped into the middle of this. They want the narrative controlled. They don't want the American people in an election year to know that, hey, we're the federal government and we're in bed with criminals and we're trying to bring your next president, Hillary Clinton, based on treason because she's selling, for her interest, uranium to the Russians they could use in nuclear weapons against us. This is what they don't want coming out. And this is why they have to do what they're doing with Ammon Bundy. I mean, don't expect to hear from him. You remember the Waco trial, guys? Remember how they sequestered the defendants, the 12 survivors of the Waco massacre, and they sequestered them and they could never talk to the media? Look for that to happen with Ammon Bundy and his group.
Okay. I mean, this is amazing, and it's surreal that this is happening here in the United States. So let me ask you, based on your knowledge right now of the situation, where do we stand? Where do they stand? Is that refuge still occupied? And if so, how do you expect, what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I got a text from Sheila, and she said she was going there to Oregon. I haven't heard a follow-up from her yet, but I understand there's still action there. There's still people on the scene. The FBI did tell people they could leave, and I understand some left and some are still there. There's a guy here in Peoria, Arizona, and his name escapes me. It's like Reitmeyer or something like that, but he was up there at the compound. Here, I'm using mainstream media terms, excuse me. He was up there at the refuge. Okay, it's not a compound. That's mainstream media characterization to make you think they're militarized. But he was up there at the refuge, and he left to come back home and be with his family, and the FBI contacted him here and says, you need to turn yourself in. You're being arrested for hindering federal agents in the commission of their duties. And this is what they're charging all the people with that were taken into custody in the car in which Lavoie Finicum was killed when he was putting his hands in the air. And by the way, the saying, remember the race riots in Missouri, Ferguson, Missouri, hands up, don't shoot? That really applies here in this case, too. But anyway, this gentleman went to the Peoria Police Department 2 days ago, turned himself in, and he was arrested on federal charges. I think it's a minimum term of 5 years, if I'm not mistaken. So they're not really letting people go home. They're saying you can go home, but when you do, it looks like they're going after people locally. And they're saying, turn yourself into your local police department. We're coming after you. So yeah, it's exactly kind of interesting how they're playing this out. They'll have all these people in prison before long. Doug, they can't let the story come out. I mean, this is... Can you imagine if the public, the general public, not the 10 million people that pay attention to the independent media, but can you imagine if 50 million of people or 80 million people in this country knew what you and I know about this case and what it really represents?
Yeah, that would pose a threat to the operational operations of the federal government. Indeed. That was the gist of our program yesterday, Dave. Which we were talking about this and really how the Patriot movement has been compromised by the portrayal of the individuals here. You look at the mugshots of the individuals arrested, it's really a pejorative image of the Patriot movement, shall we say. And the narrative is being controlled, but more than that, the psychology. You're an expert in psychology. You've got the degrees. We don't, but you do. We're looking at how number one, how the movement, the Patriot movement, has been infiltrated, how it's been divided, how it's now being portrayed, and how even from within. And I have an emailer here that wants to ask you a question. I'll just pose this question to you because, again, you're more into you've got more of the facts than we do about this. This gentleman, his name is Keith, I believe. Yes, Keith. Keith K. wants to know what your opinion is of the embedded journalist Pete Santilli up there. When I say embedded journalist, I guess that's the only way I know how to describe his position. What's your opinion?
Mr. Santilli is in a lot of trouble because he got arrested. Okay. He was part of the party that was shot at by the FBI 120 times and then taken into custody. So I think he's in a great deal of difficulty.
Hey, Dave, we just came across the video. The FBI actually released the video of the shooting, an aerial view. I'll have to forward this to you. They show him getting shot with his hands in the air. I'm actually surprised they released this. It's actually,
that is
amazing.
Just
go to FBI. On YouTube.
That's almost the form of intimidation to other people. Look what we'll do to you.
And I'm just wondering, you know, anything that's released on the internet, video, unless it can be authenticated, I don't care if it comes from the FBI or, you know, who it comes from. I have a real, I question it. I question the authenticity of, you know, I mean, because look what they did with the 9/11 videos. I mean, how they were, a lot was edited in terms of the Pentagon and such. So, I don't know. I mean, it's out there, and certainly people watching on YouTube, maybe we can send that to Eric, and maybe he can Joe, maybe you can, for the people on YouTube. All right, Dave. Well, yeah, I mean, Mr. Santilli obviously is in a lot of trouble, but did he do the movement any favors, I guess, is my question.
That's not really for me to judge. I think that everyone has to judge whether it's Dave Hodges or Doug Hagman or Pete Santilli. They have to judge us on the merits of how they perceive our work.
And I didn't mean to ask that question. That was an unfair question. Let me just say that because I don't know. I mean, I don't know what this to me is just this great attempt, in my view, this great attempt to really marginalize the people behind the Patriot Movement. And
true,
you know what I see coming, Dave? Here's what I can see happening. In response to the death of Mr. Finnegan, or in response to what might happen next, there's going to be a federal building that'll get blown up, much like Oklahoma City, and it'll be blamed on the Patriots, you know, just like Waco, in Oklahoma City. And there goes the, not just the perception of the Patriots, but also the ability to have weapons, and of course I could see the gun grab in this. I don't know. I can just see this as a big psyop, I guess is what I'm saying. Infiltrated.
Well, when I wrote my article on this, I probably sounded like a 2-year-old child because I said stupid. I said, but federal officials murdering an unarmed man, and that's murder in my book. You give the people a chance to surrender, especially when they've already offered to meet with you. So when they murdered that man, the federal officials have guaranteed they're going to be fired upon at a later date. And I'm not advocating for it. I don't advocate for violence ever.
Right.
I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
This is not the way we handle our differences. But they've invited the fact, and this is just based on my judgment of human nature, that these ranchers are going to see, well, they're going to kill me anyway, so they come on my land, I may as well shoot them. I'm telling you, there are people that think this way, Doug. Not that Dave Hodges is encouraging this, because, you know, as soon as I say that, people are going to say I'm saying to go out and shoot federal officials, and I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, some people are going to say that they feel that they don't have any legitimate options to save their land, that the government's against them, all the agencies are against them, the media's against them, and when people are in desperate situations, they do desperate things in some cases. And that's why I said stupid. Federal officials, you just brought all hell down upon you, and you didn't need to do that to yourself. I don't want to see federal officials die. They go home to their families like the rest of us. I don't want to see that. But I damn sure don't want to see innocent people who are surrendering killed.
No,
I won't accept that,
I
won't be silent about it either. So we have a big mess right now. This is going to harden ranchers against the government, and it's going to harden them in a violent way. I mean, let's go to Northern California and Southern Oregon. There are 19 counties there that have loosely formed this group called the State of Jefferson, and it's an attempt on the part of various public officials and citizens, and I mean public officials like county commissioners and mayors and so forth, that want out of their two respective states so they can better battle the BLM and their abuse towards ranchers and farmers. And these people are using the system. Now, I don't think they've got a snowball's chance, and you know where, of getting Congress to approve this action, but they're trying to go through the system. When you murder an unarmed rancher who has his hands in the air, you've shown people that it doesn't pay to work within the system, and this is when people start taking the law into their own hands. I think we're going to see a lot of violence spread from this eventually, and we'll see that we'll look back on this event and say this was a flashpoint.
Okay, and that was my other kind of question, whether you believe that this has risen to the level, despite the attempt to tamp it down, if this has risen to the level of an incident that will be, you know, considered a flashpoint. And I respect your research and your opinions, and your opinions based on your research. Here it is. And ladies and gentlemen, I mean, here's Dave Hodges, who spoke directly with Ammon Bundy, and who got the who got the scoop, and it was an hour interview, right, or thereabouts?
About 40 minutes.
Okay, so I mean, you had time to discuss things with him, and so there was a lot of things talked about.
I basically shut up and let him talk.
All right,
people wanted to hear Ammon. Sheila and I said very little. I bet we didn't say 100 words between the two of us. We wanted Ammon to tell a story.
All right, and people can find that interview on thecommonsenseshow.com or linked off thecommonsenseshow.com.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to repost that again tonight. Now that I know we've definitely got a working link, I'm going to put that back up tonight after the show. People can go up there. And I think people need to hear Ammon Bundy is a man of God and a man of the Constitution. Plain and simple.
Okay.
And well, you know what these people did when they were being shot at? They didn't shoot back. They got on the floorboard. And Ammon's brother was wounded. And the and the FBI, you fire 120 shots and you kill one person out of seven. It's almost like the gang that can't shoot straight. But they shot straight enough to murder one man. I'm so incensed about this, Doug, I can't even find the words to express it.
Well, it is a horrible... I mean, to think... And I've received so many emails, Dave, and I'm sure you have as well, from patriots and from men and women who have fought in armed services and said, you know, this is not the America that I fought for I had friends die for and family members die for. So you're absolutely right and correct in this. And I defer to your judgment on this based on your reasoned investigation and research into what we're looking at. So, wow. All right.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say in defense of the government, and I'm kind of beating the dead horse, but I just want to make sure I make this point clear. I don't sanction the taking over of a federal building. I wish they would have built a tent, you know, a big tent or something on private rancher land and operated from that, because the minute you did that, and they didn't harm anybody, and they didn't harm any property. Ammon's people didn't do any harm when they took over the building, except you gave the other side the excuse to paint you as a criminal. That's the one thing I didn't like. Now, everything else that they did, they conducted themselves honorably.
Okay,
they were there to defend the Constitution and the property rights of ranchers. They were completely correct in their actions.
So I received... I'm going to just go to... I received an email from... I got a number of emails, but a couple of them said that the people there had... I'll just cite this one here. I agree. This is in response to our show yesterday. I usually agree with you, but not this time. I'm a Native American. When I heard the land they were occupying was sacred Indian land, I wanted the federal government to go in there and get them out of there right away. Then I heard they, meaning the Patriots, were desecrating burial sites. Is that any... I mean, is that... where'd that come from?
Well, Ammon on the show, it's disinformation is what you got there, Doug.
Okay.
When Ammon was on the show, I asked him a question about Native Americans because it was about... Gosh, I'm trying to think. I was writing for Freedom's Phoenix about 10 years ago. And one of the first stories I covered was how the BLM, with impunity, was allowing corporations to go on native land, reservation land that was protected by treaty, and stealing oil and other precious minerals off the land and not paying the royalty to the native tribes as they were supposed to. And based on that experience I had when I covered that story, I then asked Ammon the question in the interview, have you thought about reaching out to Native American tribes because they've been the victim of this kind of mineral theft as well? And he said, interesting you'd mention this. Some of the Native tribes have reached out to us. And when I wrote a follow-up summary article on the interview, I raised the question. I said, this would be a federal government's nightmare if Native American tribes banded with American ranchers against the federal government for this land abuse.
I recall,
and I was driving down the street thinking about this story, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. I don't know if it was a word from God or what it was, but I realized, oh my gosh, this is why the federal government will act with extreme prejudice. They can't let this happen. And I guarantee you that email that you got was disinformation.
Okay. Well, you know, or this person got the information and believing it to be true, passed along to me.
Let's just apply common sense to the allegation. They're desecrating Indian monuments and burial grounds. These guys are too busy seeking out rancher issues and trying to fix those. They were involved in intense labor projects. And also they were looking at paperwork and court documents, and Ammon asked for help on my show from people that would come there and help them decipher land deeds and so forth. They were looking to right wrongs. They didn't have time to go out and play the role of a vandal like some teenage kid who's drunk on a Saturday night. It doesn't even make any sense. The allegation makes no sense.
Okay. Well, yeah, and again, I'm looking at this from a larger view here because I do see both I see both the constitutionalist patriot movement digging in from this, but I also see this manipulation of public opinion that seems to be winning the day. The Psy War is winning the day because the corporate media, of course, is not going to tell the truth, or if they're not going to report on it, and if they do, they're not going to tell the truth. And then, of course, the alternative media, just, you know, as evidenced by some of the emails I got, not necessarily the one I just read you, but others, misunderstanding the larger issue. And you did a great job, by the way. And then, folks, go to thecommonsenseshow.com. I urge everyone to read Dave's research on, for example, the mineral rights, and we talked about the uranium situation yesterday during our program. Hillary Clinton, through the what was it? The Uranium One, right? Which is out of Canada, yeah. Uranium One, and the ties of the Clinton Foundation.
Yeah, Doug, let me say something in my defense. And I don't often feel the need to come out and defend myself, but I've had people accuse me of just making up this Uranium One thing. And like I said, I stand by the New York Times article and my supporting research to that. But I want people to hear this clearly. I wrote about this, and I wrote about how Hillary Clinton was benefiting from the uranium sales back in April of 2015. So we're talking 9 months ago, folks, almost 10 months ago, I wrote about this. This wasn't something I just concocted when this situation in Burns, Oregon cropped up. I was on this story in April of last year. So much for the allegations that I'm fabricating evidence.
And I got to tell you, I understand completely why, and I don't think you need to really apologize, but defend your position, because I recall this. I recall, in fact, we had some dialogue, and I'm not sure it was about this in particular, but it was about the larger issue, because this was 6 months in the wake of the, or a few months in the wake of the Bundy Ranch situation. And
well, this was, I think, the year after.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
exactly, it was a year after. But okay. Let me just share this thought with you. In the article I wrote in April, I think I'm going to repost this on my website, too.
You should.
But in the article, I compared Hillary Clinton to Ethel Rosenberg. Now, for people that might not know that name, Ethel Rosenberg and her husband, Julius, were convicted of selling atomic secrets to the Soviet Union so they could go about constructing their own nuclear bombs, and these two were executed. And I made the point that the evidence against the Rosenbergs was a little bit on the flimsy side. I think they were probably guilty, but the evidence was flimsy. And I don't think it was beyond a reasonable doubt. But the evidence with Hillary Clinton is beyond a reasonable doubt, and she's selling uranium to Putin, who's threatened to nuke the United States over Syria on multiple occasions. That is treason. Treason. Yeah. Now, we executed Ethel Rosenberg. Hillary Clinton doesn't even... I mean, when I wrote that article, Doug, it got no traction. It was one of the least read articles that I wrote during that time frame. I couldn't believe it. I'm thinking, how could people not care that the former Secretary of State, a former senator, and a presidential candidate is selling weapon-grade uranium to the Russians to use against us? How is that not important?
My frustration overtakes my ability to speak. I just want to briefly interrupt you here. Folks watching on YouTube, folks, we have the screen captures or frames of
frame by frame,
ostensibly from the FBI. Allegedly, we can't guarantee the authenticity of this footage, but it does show Robert Lavoie Finicum at the moment of his death. And if this is authenticated, and if this is authentic, it certainly does, David. It shows him clearly in a hands up position. And oh, man, you know, you look at this and you think, can this really happen in America?
You know, I'm not calling for revolution, but I'm calling for revolution within the ranks. And here's what I mean by this. There are good men and women in the FBI. There's good men and women in government, in all services of government. You people need to make a decision. Some of you, you go to church on Sunday. You sit next to me in the pew. You know, you say the same prayers to the Lord that I say, and you mean them. You send your kids off to school to try to make them better people. Why would you serve such evil? Find something honorable to do with your lives. Please do not serve these evil masters.
Yeah, we've been subjugated completely to the globalists. You know, there is no more... I don't think that we have a system of governance in this country anymore. We have a system of chaos and orchestrated chaos and lawlessness. And, wow, man. You know, I got to give you a lot of credit for your research and for what you've done in advance of this, well, with respect to this this whole situation. I mean, it's thank you for your
I just,
for
well, you know, I sincerely appreciate the kind words, but I am so saddened to my core over these issues. It kind of bounces off of me because it's so distressing where we're at. Our children and people's grandchildren, they have no future in this kind of system. This is thuggery. We are run by a mafia. I mean, we're supposed to have a system of justice. Instead, all we have is just us. Just us ruling over you, telling you what you'll do. And if you get in the way, we'll kill you, even when you're not armed.
What's next?
And this needs to become a rallying cry for people, but it won't be. This is a distressing thing, Doug. This is why I'm so discouraged tonight, because there are so many instances. You don't have to have Lavoie Finicum's case. We have so many instances where our government doesn't serve our needs. They're contrary to our needs. You know, I ask people that support Barack Obama, I say, please tell me one thing he's done for you in the middle class. One thing. Just one.
Yeah.
And no one ever can. No one can ever tell me one positive thing he's done. These people are here to take away what we have. The government today is about wealth redistribution and squashing anyone who gets in the way of that.
Well, there it is. I mean, do you see any viable response from the patriot community, from the constitutionalists, from the conservatives, from the people who should be giving a damn? Do you see anything happening, or are we just going to roll over and allow our children to be subjugated to this globalist agenda? You know, are you're not. I don't sense a lot of hopefulness in your voice tonight.
No, there's no reason for hope. There'll be 2 million of us that are incensed, and we have this righteous indignation over this event. Most of the country won't even know that it exists. I mean, they published the article in the Arizona Republic, and they didn't even put Lavoie's name. They didn't even have his name in the article. Much less ever tell the story, the true story about what really happened. The American people are just going to, you know, oh, those crazy people up there in Burns, Oregon, they got what they deserved. And then you just move on to the next thing.
I that. Yeah.
And that's what most of the country thinks. Yeah. You know, we don't have time to get into it, I know, but Paul Martin called me and confirmed what I've already been told. Martial law is locked and cocked. His sources are telling him, my sources are telling me. They're waiting for the provocateur incident. The forces are ready to go. This is what Jade Helm was about. And I hate to say I told you so, but I wrote 5 months of articles saying, I told you so. This is what's coming, folks. Martial law. This is why they're moving the troops, why they're doing all these drills, why they have the foreigners training with us. We're on the precipice. I don't know if we're going to see an uprising with ranchers and that's going to be the precipitating incident, or it's going to be an economic collapse or an EMP attack. I don't know. But what I do know is an incident is coming, and I believe that incident is going to be sooner rather than later. The FEMA camps are open for business. There is an order for 30,000 guillotines. You can check out my article today. And they brought in all kinds of ISIS in the refugee resettlement program. And I quote directly from the Quran in the article where they talk about beheading foreign infidels, particularly Christians, people that don't believe in Muhammad as being the Jesus of their religion. And I believe that they'll be in the FEMA camps, and they'll be carrying out executions with guillotines. Check out the article. It's pretty well documented. Ted Gunderson was saying this 12 years ago.
Very interesting. And I did catch that on your website, folks, thecommonsenseshow.com. Quite disturbing, actually. You know, but definitely needed. You need to read this. As a matter of fact, the commonsenseshow.com, the title of the article, FEMA camps are open, guillotines are in place, ISIS executioners await your arrival. And then, of course, you also have the article about murder at Al-Hir. So, you know, it's your research is, I just have to say, thanks for your research. And, you know, it just seems surreal to be talking about this, doesn't it? I mean, really? And people are not.
It does. Like, you know, I'll share this thought with you, Doug. And I know how the mainstream of the public would view what I've been writing, no matter how well documented. I remember when I first heard Alex Jones, and I was probably more aware than most people at that time. And I thought, Alex has a lot of good points, but man, he goes off the deep end quickly. Now I look at him going off the deep end, and I'm right there with him, standing next to him. And you know, so I can understand and appreciate how people will say, Dave, I can go with you part way on this stuff, but man, come on, guillotines and ISIS and FEMA camps, come on, Dave, really. But
well, hey, you just Senate resolution, joint resolution, what was it, 29, martial law anywhere, anytime, fast track to martial law.
Did you see at the bottom of the article that I wrote? That a nurse wrote to me and said that they have a code, a medical code for death by guillotine, an ICD code.
Yes, yes. And I've seen that before, too. But on your article, yes, I did. Yes. And go figure, okay? And explain to people ICD code, what that is.
Well, okay, here in America, we have medical billing codes. And in mental health, we call them DSM, and then the insurance companies each have their own coding system for an illness. And internationally, they use an ICD system, and increasingly managed care and Obamacare is using the ICD codes now to categorize various illnesses. And under this ICD code, it's called death by guillotine. This was sent to me by a nurse.
ICD-9.
After she read my article on the guillotines, she went and researched it, and she came back. She goes, this is what I found. And since that time, I've gotten two more emails that have confirmed this.
So it's actually a code that would be used for jails billing the federal government for services rendered. You know, oh my goodness. Okay, ICD-9.
I'm chuckling here, but it's the irony of behind the chuckle. It doesn't exist, but we got federal work orders for guillotines. We're bringing in ISIS, and their religious code is behead everyone that you don't agree with. And the FEMA camps are open for business. Hello, Paul Martin's people are telling that. My people are telling me this. The FEMA camps are good to go. They are ready.
In closing, Dave Hodges, I have to say, we, like Steve Quayle said, I'll just finish it with what you write here. As Steve Quayle recently said on the Common Sense Show, we are no longer writing about what is coming. What is coming is already here. Dave, I just want to say thank you so much. I know you're... I know you appeared tonight at great sacrifice, great personal sacrifice. I want to thank you for it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's always a pleasure to come on your show. You two guys are the best. And again, thank you for supporting Katie in her battle against cancer. And I'm going to have her GoFundMe up for fundraising tonight about 10 p.m. Mountain Time. I'll have that up and running. And people can make a generous donation, $2, $5, $10, doesn't matter. But help Katie fight cancer. I need her, and the Patriot Movement needs her.
Amen, brother. We need to stick together.
And our prayers are definitely with her. Thank you, Dave, for everything you do, and look forward to your show on Sunday. You have a good night.
God bless you, my friend. Good night.
This is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, have a great night, everyone.
Doug and Joe left the building.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.